Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 73. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulges with fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore, his people return to this place, and waters of abundance are drunk by them. And they say, how does God know? And there is knowledge with the Most High. Oh, and is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease they have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of thy children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Surely thou hast set them in slippery places. Thou hast cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment, they are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, thou wilt despise their form. When my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast taken hold of my right hand. With thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Who am I in heaven but thee? Besides thee I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. And thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. Amen. It's been a long time, but remember, we're starting book three now. And so the book of Psalms is separated into three books. So now we're getting to the final book. It starts here at 73, and one of the primary authors is Asaph. Asaph was primarily the song leader in the temple, most likely through the reign of Solomon. So a little bit after David. I mean, he could have been there with David as well, but primarily he's under the reign of Solomon during his time. And so we know from other passages that he's considered a prophet. And so his songs have a very prophetic nature to them. And so this psalm particularly is really talking about the perspective of eternity. He's really laying out here the trouble that you will encounter when your eyes are only fixed on what's in front of you now. In other words, what's temporal, whatever's here on earth. But to be honest, it's really difficult to understand anything in that perspective. There's a great quote, I hope I don't mess it up. It's by Kierkegaard. And he basically said the understanding of life is only in hindsight, but we actually live going forward. In other words, the only way you can really understand life is by looking back. But unfortunately, life is live going forward. And so that's another way of saying that we need to have a bigger perspective than what we have. We need to have an eternal perspective. And so Asaph starts here, and this is a very honest psalm, and probably many of us, we can feel like this at many times, especially when we become so insular or so internal. Notice in the language here, he spends a lot of time with I, spends a lot of time talking about they, and when he gets stuck in I and they, guess what? He doesn't get anywhere. And then he starts focusing on you, which is God. And as soon as he makes that transition, it's not me, it's not the world that I look at, and as soon as he gets to, it's you, and he starts focusing on God, then everything becomes clear. So let's wrap this up. Let's look into this. He says he makes a faith pronouncement in the beginning. Surely God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. He's almost trying to convince himself. Yes, God, you are good to Israel and you are good to those that are pure in heart. But then he says, but as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps almost slipped. Keep that in mind. My feet came close to stumbling. And he says, why? Because I looked out to the envy. I was envious of the arrogant. He says, I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no pains in their death. In other words, it's usually said when a good man dies, he dies peacefully. When a bad man dies, he dies with terror. That's a general rule of thought. This is, I mean, all the authors all over history have written to this end. But he says there's no pain in their death, and their body is fat. In other words, they're enjoying and they're living life. The word is better translated. Their belly is fat, so you get an idea. In other words, man, these guys were living a life. They're not in trouble as other men, and nor are they plagued like mankind. In other words, where normal men have a conscience, these guys are not troubled by anything. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Now, this idea, the necklace, these type of things, could mean some kind of civil office. So in other words, they've come into even positions of power. They had some kind of I don't know exactly, like insignia or something to represent that they are someone that's important. And so they have all these things. Their eyes bulges with fatness. In other words, I mean, these guys are eating such good food and having such a life. Their eyes are bulging in this place. The imaginations of their heart run riot. In other words, they can do whatever they want to do. Whatever they imagine, they can get away with it. They mock, they wickedly speak of oppression, they speak from on high. In other words, these guys think they can get away with anything. They have set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue parades through the earth. And so he's basically saying, Seth is saying, look at these people. Man, these guys have no worries, they have no cares. They're respected by the people, they have some civil office, they're wealthy, and even when they die, there's no pain in their death. Let's go to verse 10. Therefore, his people return to this place. The waters of abundance are drunk by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, and they have increased in wealth. Verse 13, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. Wow. In other words, man, I've tried to be a good man, I've cleansed my heart, but I've done this in vain. In other words, what benefit did I receive from good, righteous living? I've received none. But yet here the wicked, they don't even believe in God. They wonder, is there even any wisdom in God, or even knowing or having a relationship with God? And yet, did I do this whole Well, in this case, Judaism, in our case, did I do this whole Christianity? Is this for nothing? Am I trying to live a holy life for no good reason whatsoever? Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. And this is verse 14. This is painful. He says, I've been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. You know, being stricken is kind of circumstances. In the Bible, being chastened means God is the agent. And so not only are the circumstances of life bearing down on him, oh my goodness, on top of that, God is disciplining me every single morning. Surely this is all done in vain. And then a major shift began to happen here. And he says, and if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of my children. In other words, if I keep saying these kinds of things, then I will betray everything that I know. And when I ponder to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. I was weary. Oh, this is Bad news. I don't understand this. And then the shift comes in verse 17. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, oh, then I perceived their end. In other words, he's saying that he was troubled, all these things happening, and then something happened to him when he came into the presence of the Lord. And basically what happened was God gave him an eternal perspective. He began to see these people, his own life, the world, not in a worldly perspective, but in a godly perspective. And he says, and until I came into the sanctuary, until I came to, we can, our context, I came to church, but more so talking about the presence of God. It's then when I came into the presence of God, then I perceived their end. Lord, you set them in slippery places. Remember when he first started the psalm? He said that his feet came close to stumbling. He almost slipped. And then he realized, oh, actually, these guys are the ones that are on shaky ground. Asaph recognized, oh, it's actually not me. I'm actually on secure ground, but these guys are on shaky ground. And they're already slipping. And you cast them to destruction, and they are destroyed in a moment. He's talking about judgment. They're utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. Brothers and sisters, judgment comes for everybody. And he says, and when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. This is, David said very similar things. And so that's why people think that he was around when David was around. And you could see, this is what happens when you allow bitterness to enter into your heart. When you open yourself up to unforgiveness, when you open yourself up to the bitterness that stems from unforgiveness or anger that leads into bitterness, when you wrap yourself around these things, guess what? You don't think. You don't think. You become like a beast. Think about a beast. In other words, a beast only thinks about now. A beast only thinks about, I got to eat now. I got to kill this creature now. Whatever the case may be. But we're not beasts. We're humans. We have rationale. We are thinking people. But you know, when you allow bitterness to enter into your heart, guess what? You become like a beast. He says you become senseless and ignorant. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. But nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast taken hold of my right hand. With thy counsel, thou wilt guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. It's look what he says. It's important. I am continually with you, God, and you have taken hold of my hand. So Asaph says, I run to God, and God runs to me. It's a mutual thing. It's not just God has his hand on me. I also have my hand on God. It's a partnership that takes place. And then he's gonna guide me and lead me. And then he asks this question. Again, this is the eternal question. Whom have I in heaven but thee? In other words, who else can I put my trust and faith in light of eternity? And then, not only that, and besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. Not only does he have, you know, everything I need in heaven, I also don't desire anything here on earth. It's that duality. Just think of that. I'm with God. God is with me. I only have you in heaven, but Lord, I don't desire anything but you here on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He says, Lord, you know me and my weakness, my heart and my strength. They're going to fail. They're going to fail you in this way. My flesh, my all these things are going to fail. But Lord, you will be my portion. For behold, those who are far from you will perish, and you have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. Brothers and sisters, if you're ever in a confusing moment, if you're ever in a confusing time, whenever you've doubted the goodness of God, whenever you saw the wealth of the world pouring out and it just everything seems so unfair, you know what you need to do? You need to get into the presence of the Lord. You need to enter into a sanctuary and allow Him to give you an eternal perspective, give you a godly perspective, His perspective in this way. Now, but as for me, the nearness of God, the presence of God is my good. That's the only thing that can rescue me. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all thy works. And so I'm going to hide myself in the Lord because there's nothing else that I can do. Amen? It's the perspective of eternity. Well, let's pray. Let's close our eyes. What a great way to start book three. And I'm sure we've gone through this as believers. You know, we're working so hard to be holy. We're trying so hard to live the Christian life. And we wonder, why is it so difficult? And why is the world around me? You know, why is so-and-so getting promoted? Man, that guy's jerk. But yet I'm trying to be faithful to the Lord and I can't get anywhere in my work. Now why is my non-Christian friend getting married? Man, that guy's a womanizer. I've tried to be faithful with women and I'm getting nowhere. And it may seem like the wicked is prospering, but it's because we're focusing on I and they instead of on Him. It says, when I ponder to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. It's the presence of God. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. I would say there's fullness of understanding. There's fullness of peace. There's fullness of His grace. And if you're here, if you're listening online and you're going through a season like that, man, I just want to encourage you just to get into His presence and get His perspective.
Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters most than just to sit at your feet and worship you. And worship you. We love you, and we'll never stop We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Jesus. When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Jesus. And consume, God, all we are. Give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. Give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Oh, come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come, consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you, yes, God, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, yes. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Jesus. We love you, Lord. and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Amen. Let's get into His presence this morning. Let's invite the presence of the Lord, that sanctuary of God. Lord, in Your presence, God, there is fullness of joy. In Your presence, there is understanding. God, there's grace to overcome all of our fears, all of our doubts. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us. If you're struggling about the wickedness of the world and struggling, wondering if holiness is worth it, let's get into His presence. The Lord will tell it and explain everything to you there in that place. Well, let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's battling through non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community. Got COVID. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's continue to lift up our frontline medical workers as well. pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's pray for our community in SP Beijing and in SP Shanghai. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Ricky. Let's lift up the Chungs as they minister inside. And let's just continue to lift up the churches. Let's ask God's hand that the gospel be preached powerfully in this nation. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for our deacons here. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation as they serve the Lord. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, our young adult ministries. The Single Life Workshop is starting soon. Let's pray for men's ministry, their lunchtime prayer, and Pure Desire. Let's pray for the women's. I think they changed it to Wednesday, if I recall. Lunchtime prayer and the betrayal and beyond. Let's just ask God's hands as we minister together in groups. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's continue to pray for building and resources. Pray for a benefactor and ask God to continue to increase the vision fund. We're making some decisions on some space here in the building. Let's just pray for wisdom as well. Let's pray for our pregnant ladies. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for their bodies. Pray for the health of the baby. Let's pray that I know some are due pretty soon. Let's pray for a very pain-free and stress-free delivery. And let's ask God's hand. Let's pray for house churches tonight. Blue Pool, Chai T, Fortress, Gia, New Conduit, TST, and Westfield. Let's pray for God's hand. Let's just pray for the Holy Spirit to lead our leaders and our hosts. And as people really focus on being with the Lord, that God would really move in their midst. Let's pray. Let's pray. For Father, it's true. Yeah, when we focus on our own opinions, our own ideas, when we focus on others or the circumstances around us, Lord, yeah, we could easily stumble. Yeah, we can see, Lord, our attempts at holiness, Lord, to be in vain. Lord, we can see so many things happening around us, God. But Lord, but when we get into your presence, Lord, everything, Lord, is made well. When we come into your presence, Lord, you show us and reveal all things to us, God. And then we finally have the right perspective, your perspective. And so help us, Lord. Some of us that may be struggling with this, but we pray, God, that they will find, God, a place in your heart. Lord, release the presence of the God to us, Lord. We thank you, Father. Watch over us, Lord. We bless you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.